Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Lions and Chiefs. It's game week. 2-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Certainly don't have the mystique of yesterday.
No.
Yesteryear.
No, yesteryear.
Now, that doesn't mean this is going to be a roll up and roll in and beat them up. I mean, it's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kansas City Chiefs. They are 1.5-point favorites. Ticket texters with their thoughts. I was hoping Kansas City won because I don't want to hear about how we haven't beat anybody.
You know what? There are going to be those that say that. If you're not a part of that camp, then so be it. Like, it doesn't have to affect your mindset of the game. No matter if Kansas City is good or bad, Tampa Bay, like, we get to the Tampa weekend and everybody's going to say, oh, well, you know, if you beat them, they've won all these games on last second field goals. And like, there's always going to be something that those individuals can point to.
I'm not really interested in impressing those people.
Those people.
If you're not impressed with the Baltimore win right now, I'm not interested in trying to impress you. I'm just not. And the schedule has plenty of tough opponents still coming up, right? Well, actually, Philly lost, so they're not very good anymore. And well, you know, they can't run the ball, and they're not very good.
My biggest thing,
there's the Green Bay Packers. They're not the team they were in week one. So if the Lions avenge that loss, I mean, it's not really that big. See, I'm just not going to try to impress that guy.
Here's what I would say to those people. Do they look the part? Take everything else away. I don't know how you can say that the Lions don't look the part right now.
They absolutely
am I concerned with the cornerback room? Yes.
But is that a long-term concern? These aren't season enders.
Right. Arnold could be a little bit longer than Reed, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But Reed should be back, what, after the bye? Minnesota, potentially, or just after? Maybe the Philly game in mid-November?
Yeah, call up by Thanksgiving. I mean, even conservatively.
Listen, I think barring more significant injuries, right now, the look, the way they look on the field.
Yeah.
This thing's, you're going to be able to really, really take those people away at Philly. Do they look the part in Philly? And that would include playing a great game and losing by a field goal.
Right. On the road, tough spot. You'll get Lee McNeil back along the way, too. So for everybody talking about injuries, like, they haven't suffered a catastrophic season-ending, season-altering injury right now. So I know they're starting to pile up, but I got news for people. If you've watched the NFL before, this is going to happen to everybody. And you can't get through a season unscathed.
The latest that they will get Aleem McNeil back would be the Vikings game.
Yeah.
Because that window opened. There's a 21-day window. It opened, what, Thursday or Wednesday of last week after we talked to Campbell. And so by the time they get to the middle of that, you know, bye week, he's ready to go. He's on the 53-man roster.
He has to be, or he's done for the season. Isn't that the way that works?
Yes. So, and we've all heard about how good he's feeling, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Unless there is some catastrophic event, the latest that you will get Aleem McNeil back is for the Vikings game.
And when you say look the part, like we're talking about with an offseason where doubts crept in, would they be a team chasing down a Super Bowl? Yes, I think emphatically we can say, and that doesn't mean they've won it yet, but they will be one of the teams late in the season fighting for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Ticket Texter says what they're doing is special, question mark. They did this last year and got booted by halftime in their first playoff game. None of this matters until the playoffs, Mark and Dexter.
What'd I tell you?
Yeah. Look, I understand.
There are going to be, there's a lot of factions of Lions fans. And I think the one thing that we can all agree on is we want the Lions to win. We want them to be good. Some may say they're good now. Some may say they have more to prove. Some are going to say they can't prove it until they get to the playoffs.
I understand, like, ultimately the season will be defined by what happens in the playoffs. But the idea that you can't see progress and encouragement along the way, that you just have to bury your head in the sand and literally not talk about them until January, seems silly.
Okay, well, that's not what we're able to do. But there are going to be fans that are going to be like, doesn't make them bad fans. I understand where they're coming from.
There's a certain level of misery, though, in living life that way.
There is no matter of how much we talk about it or try and give them talking points or data that will change their mind. And that's okay.
That's my problem right now with some fans is enjoy the ride. I've always said that. Be a fan. Be in the moment. I don't know how you can't be more than satisfied with the start of this season.
Agreed.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying is, I'm just not going to argue with those fans. I'm just not, because there's nothing that we can say. We're going to sit here and pound the table and say, this is a good team. We're going to ask the question, are they the best team in the NFC? Are they the best team in the league? Are they better than they were last year? All of those questions we will ask, and we'll ask them throughout the course of this week.
Yeah, but we're talking to a brick wall with that guy, because that guy doesn't want to hear any of it until January.
So, and to that guy probably complains about kids who want instant gratification. You want instant gratification right now. You want the final destination. You're not willing to go on the ride. You're not willing to ride the roller coaster as a fan. It's simply playoffs or bust.
We stumbled into a Lions conversation, John, and the people want to speak, so we're here to hear them.
Let's talk with them.
All right, let's get to Stu in West Bloomfield. Stu, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. Happy Taco Tuesday, everybody.
Hey, how you doing, Stu?
And I'm awesome. John, I got to say, I've been a fan of yours all my life, so I love hearing you every morning.
Thank you.
But with the Lions, we could go back to how we was with the 0-16 season and can't win a game, or we can ride the wave and take these wins. It's the NFL. Any given Sunday, a team can beat you, and just love what we're getting right now. And then when the playoffs come, we got playoff football. Or we can go back to not having playoff football and be the laughingstock of the league.
So you want to enjoy the ride. You want to enjoy every single win. No matter who it is, you want to enjoy the moment.
By 1 point or by 30 points, a win is a win. And if we don't win, we can't get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what gets me, Stu, is they're not winning by 1 point. You know, like they're winning by 12, 13, 14, 20, 25. Like they're not eking by and giving people reasons to be concerned, yet some fans are choosing to find concerns anyway.
Yeah, and so there's one thing that I hear quite a bit, because we've had this, you know, really close a couple of times with the Tigers. It hasn't been that way with the Pistons and Wings, but now that we're here with the Lions and here on Twitch by our weather guy, I'm enjoying the ride. I do hope this era of Lions football ends in at least one title and not be like the Tigers from 06 to 14.
I get that 100%. I do. But it would be weird if during the 06 season or the 2012 season, if you were like, yeah, I know we just swept the division, or yeah, I know we just got a big series win, but I'm going to hold off on feeling any type of emotion until we win the World Series.
Right. I mean,
I'm not going to be excited about my team because we are not currently on Woodward. We do not have drunk players celebrating with the trophy. Therefore, I'm not happy.
Right. That's the ultimate goal. But in the process of getting there, I mean, if it happens this year, if it happens next year, let's just assume at some point it does in the next 3 years. Well, then you can look back and say, "Wow, we had that chance in 24, but it was the injuries, and we couldn't find a way to get over the hump." And whatever happens this year, and whether it's injuries in the secondary, or we'll look back at the San Francisco game and say, yeah, we had that opportunity. There was just always something that prevented us. But the ride over the last 4 years has been amazing, and ultimately culminating in the lessons you got to learn to get to and win a Super Bowl.
And I want to be clear, we're not saying you can't be critical of your team while they're winning. Like, John, if they lose a game, we're going to talk about what went wrong. If you have valid concerns of why this team's not going to get it done, we can talk to you about it. What I don't understand is when they win emphatically, people are like trying to find things.
Well, because
that's what kind of gets me. It's like, if it's obvious and there's a conversation to be had, nobody on this show is running from that conversation. Nobody on the station is going to run from that conversation. We had the conversation when they lost to Green Bay, but man, have they responded. Boy, do they look good. And boy, has it been convincing. And yet I still don't understand why people are searching for things to be concerned about.
Well, because the Lions have never done it. And there is a measure of some of those fans that by the time they get to the end of the season and they lose to Washington unexpectedly, they're going to be the first ones that call in and say,
"See,
I told you so." But they didn't beat anybody in the regular season. They weren't prepared for the regular season. And we had gone into this one going, hey, this is a season where the record, they may be better, but the record might not be as good as it was last year, but they should be a team that is tested. Now everybody is, not everybody, there is a faction of the fan base that's saying, well, they're not really tested because they haven't beat anybody.
Which, the Baltimore game happened. I don't care that they're hurt now. They were healthy when it happened. You said there's the I told you so guy, and that's kind of what irks you sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
What irks me about that is they're going to act like, well, I didn't get my feelings hurt because I didn't let myself get caught up. Mm-hmm. And you also didn't get to enjoy any of the wins that come with 15-2 last year. You could be the duality of man, enjoying your team winning in the regular season, and then, wow. Yeah. It means you have your heart broken, but feel emotions.
The duality of man.
Your heart's beating. You're alive. Feel emotions. You're not cool because you don't care.
Where are the golf haters, by the way? Here's the best passer rating in the NFL. That's where they're at, hiding. They're waiting to pounce when he has that moment. And he will have a moment at some point this year because that's who he is.
Well, he's already had one.
He had the one in Green Bay. I would contend, looking back at that game, if he doesn't throw that pick, maybe we have a different outcome.
Possibly. I mean, things always change when you change one factor. The rest of the game, whether what Green Bay does, what the Lions do, all changes.
Let's get some more thoughts. Paul in Belleville. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was telling the screener, these fans that can't enjoy it week by week, they're the same fans that probably hold others to a standard they can't keep themselves, or that crab mentality. Like, when I take the games week by week, if we win, great, all right. If they lose, I'm hoping they correct. It's a thrill when we watch them on TV and you see blue jerseys in the opposing team's team. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, Pete, we had years and years of bad football. And you just don't know how to enjoy it. Crab mentality.
Yeah,
they're in the bottom of the bucket.
The crab mentality. Go ahead.
The crabs are in the bottom of the bucket, and that one crab wants to get out of the bucket, and that crab that's in the bottom pulls them down. You know, the crabs do that.
Yeah, no one wants crabs.
Yeah, nobody wants crabs. Exactly. Enjoy it, man. People just don't know how to enjoy it week by week. They're wowsy, wowsy, woo-woo, schlep rock, the cloud over them. Not me, man. Not me. I'm enjoying this.
Yep. And you should, Paul. Look at us, a little philosophical stuff today.
Yes.
Duality of man, crab theory.
I know, the thoughts and ponderings of one Jim Costa, the duality of man.
I just think, like he said, we've had so much suffering. I'm not afraid of, like, the team letting me down. Like, that's the reason I'm not going to believe in the Lions, because they might let me down. Guys, I'm 32. I've been let down my entire life. Some of you listening are older than that. All you know is let down and disappointment. I'm not afraid of the Lions letting me down. Well, what if I believe in them and then they fall short?
Okay.
Well, all right.
Yeah, then you see what you could do. We can get all over Brad Holmes about an opposite edge. We can get all over him about the secondary. We can get all over him. Yeah. And then we'll dial it up again next year and see where we go.
Rev it back up. And look, they're going to have a shot. I think they've surprised people to start this season. And for some reason, the people are fighting that. 248-539-9797. Text says, I get both sides of the opinion. The trauma and the PTSD that this team has delivered for decades is coming out in people. Goff looks really good. I still don't think you can win with him. Okay. I'm just glad their schedule isn't as intimidating as it was in the beginning of the season. A question from the ticket texter. This is from Steve. So with Kansas City struggling, is this week a double-digit disco? We'll wait for Friday.
Hi. Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson. We're at the Soundspace Studios above the lobby at Hockey Town Cafe. We do have a bit of breaking news from the Lions. I told you earlier about the DB they brought in, a 32-year-old Mollett, a 32-year-old veteran cornerback, Arthur Mollett. And now they made another roster move. Kang, they brought in they brought Dan Skipper. They signed him to the active roster.
Yes, this is according to Detroit Lions Twitter 30 minutes ago. They have signed offensive lineman Dan Skipper from the practice squad to the active roster.
There you go.
Also, they placed Khalil Dorsey in injured reserve.
Okay, so what does that mean? Why would they do that? Why would they activate Skipper? Decker's out and they didn't love Manu's performance?
Yeah, if I'm speculating, Decker could be out another week. They didn't really love what they saw from Mono, even though there were some things to build upon. Big game versus the Chiefs. Maybe they want the more experienced offensive lineman to come up and play this game this week.
Yeah, I don't know who was the extra lineman last week, but maybe it's just that. It's just that, well, Skipper would be a better option than whoever the extra lineman was that was activated last week. I don't know if it has anything to do with Manu or not.
Yeah, it might not be. They may just want an extra offensive lineman as well. But, you know,
somebody's got to be a tackle eligible.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's got to report, and they got to know that he reported.
Yeah, he's got the experience.
So the other news is that Cincinnati, who yesterday traded for Joe Flacco, today announced that Joe Flacco will start for the Bengals Sunday.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
The NFL is strange, man. You get a veteran quarterback. They're like, veteran quarterbacks, they don't need any time. They'll figure the playbook out. It's just different terminology. I mean, it's the same plays. It's just, what, different vernacular or different ways they call it? I don't know.
I guess.
That's
crazy.
Do you know
who the Bengals play Sunday?
Green Bay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it?
Joe Flacco is 1-0 against Green Bay this year. Trey Wingo.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Trey Wingo tweeted out, it would be on a few levels hilarious if Green Bay were to somehow miss the playoffs because of two potential losses to Joe Flacco-led teams. If Flacco and the Bengals win Sunday, he'd be the first quarterback to beat the same team twice as a quarterback for two different teams in the NFL since 1982.
Wow.
So, I'm sorry, 1962. Joe Flacco, Green Bay's kryptonite. Could that be the case?
Well, I would say this. The situation he's walking into in Cincinnati, I don't know if it's better or not. The offensive line is terrible, but the receivers are great.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, there's give and take with that. I imagine if Joe Flacco were a quarterback for the Bengals, it would have been similar outcome, what they would have done against the Lions. I just think it would have been spread out more in terms of not scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter, but maybe a touchdown every quarter or in three of the quarters to get there, because he's immobile. He's absolutely immobile, and Jake Browning was able to free himself from a couple of those plays. But Jake Browning just threw the ball up for grabs with those interceptions. And I don't know if Flacco is as prone to that. But, hey, good luck. Utilize those guys. Ja'Marr Chase is really good, Joe.
So is
T. Higgins.
The Joe Flacco that we saw play against the Lions didn't look like he was capable of being anybody's kryptonite. And quite frankly, the Joe Flacco that I watched for Cleveland that beat Green Bay wasn't particularly good either. But if somehow, some way, Joe Flacco can go out and beat Green Bay for a second time this year, that would be, by almost every measurement, hysterical.
Be two wildly different games, right? Because the reason Cleveland beat Green Bay is Cleveland's defense was great, and they gave them opportunities. Eventually, Joe Flacco was the one that got the offense to score the points, but yes, their defense was great. If Cincinnati is to beat Green Bay, it's going to have to be because of the offense.
Right. Feedback. You ride with the lineup that got you here. Not like we're leaving some stud hitter on the bench. They're not playing. Those guys are not playing for a reason. Look, I don't know that there's a solution in this lineup. AJ is tinkered. The bias to center field thing, they did seem to be playing better back then. I think they want Parker Meadows to be a long-term solution in center field so bad, but that this is not the time to play a guy that you want to be a solution. It's the time to play your best lineup, and they must believe in him.
Yeah, and you look at the ramifications if you were to change that up, right? Then let's say you put Baez in center field. Who plays shortstop? You want Trey Sweeney in a shortstop? This team can't hit already, and then you're going to throw in another bat that can't hit. Okay, so throw McKinstry at shortstop, and then what? Then Ibanez goes to third base, and you know, you've already committed that you don't want to use Colt Keith in the field because of the injury. And I just – it really would be great if Parker Meadows was hitting and gives you that confidence, but he's not. And I think this is going to be interesting to watch. That's a move in the offseason. See what happens with this Tiger team with some player moves in the offseason and going into spring training. You know, will Meadows be getting a fair shake? Or I imagine he will, but will he have competition, I guess? And will Javi Baez be part of that competition because maybe they have other options at shortstop?
Feedback coming in. Gator's the most optimistic Tiger fan left today, and even he's suggesting that we literally bring in therapy dogs to reset the
Hell
team.
Yes. Are you telling me that a room full of golden retrievers isn't going to cheer you up and clear your mind of any kind of stress? Come on.
How about just bringing children?
That's stressful. Dogs, the golden retrievers running around licking your face and being playful, that's not going to be stressful.
Not everybody loves dogs, Gator.
No, not everybody does.
This person goes on to write, that sounds desperate for an optimistic person. I love the idea that we are facing the weakest link of Seattle starting pitchers, but is he really worse than our hitting? I do hope so. I'm a Tiger fan, and I want them to win, but a pessimistic Tiger fan is justified.
What's his ERA in the year, like 5.6?
It's pretty bad. His whip is pretty bad. But again, I mean, you know, I feel like if this were the regular season, they'd be saying, all right, here's a chance to get right. You're facing a struggling lineup.
Sure. Sure. Well, one way or another, someone's going to be put out of their misery.
Yeah.
Either Bryce Miller is, or the Tigers will. Because if the Tigers can't get it done against Bryce Miller, then here we go. It's donezo.
More of your phone calls and feedback next. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Well, that's some interesting news, isn't it? Look, good, bad, or otherwise, you need Terry and Arnold healthy. And the Lions are doing the right thing. It's the same thing they did with DJ Reed. They're not going to rule anything out, but Reed's going to be gone for a good long while. Even Reed said he thought when he got hurt, it was a wrap. So he's going to be gone for a good long while. Terry and Arnold may be gone for the year. It becomes a real issue. Rakestraw is gone for the year. But again, this is football. It does become next man up.
You're right.
And you have no injuries on offense. None. You know, Taylor Decker missing a game against Cincy, that's management. I told you Friday. Like, that's one where you could just give him a week.
Yes, but you got to hope that it's nothing serious that he aggravates in the next game against Kansas City, because I don't think that you can go up against good teams with Manu.
No, you can't. But here's the deal. How many offensive lines are intact league-wide? You've been living a spoiled life that yours is. O-line injuries happen.
Everybody else is dead, Mike, so, you know.
No, not you. Oh, I'm saying Lion fans have gotten very comfortable that the same five guys line up every week. That's not how it works.
Right. So,
last year, you lost a starter on the O-line for three games. It was Decker. Okay, you had one week here where I think if this is a playoff game, he plays. They managed him. That's all. He's a vet. They knew who they were playing.
Exactly.
The Edmonton Eskimos.
They can't come out and say, well, we're going to win this game.
Correct.
It's our homecoming game, but. Yeah.
But no, the secondary thing's going to become a real problem when you face good teams.
Rock your sin.
Cool. 248-539-9797. David, let's check in on the ticket text. What do you got?
I am absolutely crying over the kazoo. Kazoo is the new chair drop. More, 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 he says. Another person says, I ask seriously. Have you ever seen this many professionals not name the 0-3 Tigers swing and flat out miss pitches this much? Is Mike in Clarkston?
Look, it's 56 strikeouts in your five postseason games. It's really hard to fathom. Yet, they're in every game. And they're tied at one. I'm not going to change Tigers in four, but like it's hard to say it and believe in it because I don't have a lot of great reasons. Not after what I watched this weekend. Yet, they should be up 2-0. They are one of the most confounding teams of my career.
The only thing I can say about the Tigers is that they are absolutely exhausting.
Yes, that's a great word.
The highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Just exhausting. Dingler, Perez, and McKinstry all have one hit each in five playoff games. The team has 50 Ks and 32 hits. How have they won three games?
Well, A, you played the worst team to ever make the playoffs in Cleveland. Let's start there. That was a big part of my pick is Cleveland ain't going to do this to us again. It's not going to happen.
Right. They were worse than the Tigers. The Tigers out Cleveland.
Right. Cleveland had a negative run differential. The Mariners are just different. It was the rest versus rust argument. It was Skubal figuring you'd be able to split. I thought the offense would pick up a little. It didn't, but you still split, but you lost the Skubal game inexplicably.
Right, but it's still a little bit of rust, so you should have actually come back 2-0.
Yes, and I think that's part of my angst. David, one more and we'll get to the people.
There is no situational hitting because they never change their approach to match the situation.
Okay, then. We go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Hey, gentlemen. The one thing that I end up screaming at the television about is the fact that they never hit to the opposite field. Torkelson's hit was the opposite field. When's the last time the last time I saw any hit to the opposite field when they were losing to Cleveland 5-2 before the game they wrapped it up. Green actually hit one of the opposite field, and I don't remember who else, but there were two hits back-to-back. And they never, I mean, they're watching pitches go over the outside corner, over the plate, and they're watching it for a strike three and a three. It almost seems like on 3-2 counts, they're trying to get a walk rather than get a hit. It's inexplicable to me. I see other teams go to the opposite, way quite a bit, and the Tigers never seem to even adjust to try to do that. So I think that you ought to send some kazoos to Hinch. Maybe you can play the kazoos of these guys loosen them up before they go to bat.
No, I mean, Mike, at a certain level, though, here's the problem. They've done a nice job drawing some walks, right, working the count. But it does become a bit of a talent issue, no? Mm-hmm. Like in the playoffs, this is what I talked about all year and why I so desperately wanted them to go get some reinforcements. The pitching's going to be better. The bullpen usage is higher. And at the end of it, how many really good high-level players do you have on offense? That's the problem here.
It absolutely is. But it seems to me these guys should be good enough. If it's a 3-2 count and the guy you got to sometimes go up to the plate. Sometimes I see the first pitch, they go up to the plate. And it just seems to me sometimes they're not really ready to hit. They're almost ready to take the first pitch no matter what.
Well, that's part of a patient approach. I mean, Mike, look, here's the other side of it. How many at-bats have the Mariners thrown away casually swinging at the first pitch? We just talked about the paternity leave, Naylor. Every one of his stupid at-bats. He bumbles up to the plate looking like he's hungover, roll it over to second, waddle back to the dugout. How about Rally? I mean, Rally game, all these at-bats, they're all first pitch swinging. Now, sure, he had a broken bat single or two. He only really did his damage last night. There are so many of these guys swinging at the first pitch. I'd rather the Tigers have a patient approach, but the problem is the patience is resulting in an inordinate amount of strikeouts. And when you have guys on base, those are wholly unproductive outs. Last night, you had a man on second with nobody out. You have got to get him home. Have to.
Right. But you didn't. And that's the part that's just so, it frustrates you.
Oh, goody, coming up, bag of mayo.
Jonathan Smith is up next, folks. In case you were wondering.
Here's a preview of his presser. Actually, if you wanted to know Ashton Lepo's inner monologue in pass protection.
See, I thought you were going to go doot, doot, doot.
Actually, dead. Hey, it's 3rd and 9, Ashton. How you doing out there? Dead.
Rico, I did a double take. I'm like, we're in the middle of a show. Why is he asking for a bag of mayo?
Right. And then I looked, I was like, it's Jonathan Smith coming up next.
248-539-9797. Get more of the people. And it is a Can We Say That Monday. We will open up the phone lines for some of that. And it doesn't have to be about the Tigers. Happy to do it. But we can move into some other things. Also, the Terry and Arnold injury. I mean, you're down. You're starting two corners for indefinite. No bueno.
Well, this is a bit of an interesting week because a couple of weeks ago when I bumped the Lions up to number 3, everybody said, did you not see them play the game against Green Bay? It was televised. And yes, I did see that, but I also know that this is a snapshot in time of the season. And so I was not too upset by the backlash that I got from some, mainly one sitting across from me. And so just a little recap on last week. The teams that were just on the outside looking in, Kansas City. Oh, poor Kansas City. They lost again. and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's kind of still right there. That's a team that they're 3-1, but does it feel like they're 3-1? That division has taken a dive in a lot of different ways. Obviously, Baltimore is not performing up to standard, and neither is Cincinnati. Indy was on the outside looking in. What do I do with Indy after another win? The Chargers were on the outside looking in. They took a tough loss. San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Green Bay. All those teams just on the outside looking in. San Francisco gets a big win. Jacksonville, 4-1. They're the team that beat Kansas City. So what do I do this week? Well, those teams that are just on the outside looking in and trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I think there is a clear delineation of teams that have a decent record, 3-2, 3-1, that, or even 2-1-1, that we don't really know what to make of. Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and New England. Now, New England just handed Buffalo their first loss. Do we really think New England is a legitimate team?
Not at the top 3-6.
No. But so these are the teams on the outside looking in. Minnesota, same thing. Quarterback issues. Carson Wentz is in, he's out, he's in, he's out. They can't protect their quarterback. Pittsburgh, still have no idea what to make of them. Denver, all right, nice win.
Yeah, good win.
All right, but still on the outside looking in. The two LA teams, the Chargers and the Rams. Now, the Rams were on the precipice. They were just outside last week, and, did they do enough to move up? We'll see. Washington, Seattle, Green Bay, all still on the outside. And Jacksonville.
Yeah, what about Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, they are team 6.5.
Still not in.
Still not in, even though they're 4-1. Because, all right, they won the game. They did enough to win the game. But if Chris Jones shows a little effort, maybe they don't. Although, that's Kansas City.
Yep.
So Jacksonville, they're team 6.5. Team number 6, just make it into the power surge, the San Francisco 49ers. They are the team that is winning, or that are currently out in the West, that is number 1 in their division, and they've done it with Brock Purdy. They're doing it with Mac Jones. And I think the big question on this one, which has nothing to do with the power surge, but what if Mac Jones was drafted by the San Francisco 49ers versus Brock Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant? Would we be talking about Mac Jones as one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't know that he's there, but his journey has taken him there, yeah. And they are winning with him.
When they beat the Rams last week, that was, as shorthanded as they were on the road, even though their fans kind of made it a home game, that was a big win.
And this is some of the reasons why, and you take a look at the top 6 teams, and other than one of them, I think you could look at the head coach and say, that's why they're always in contention for being one of the top 6. San Francisco certainly fills that category. Number 5. The Indianapolis Colts finally make it in, and they jump all the way up to number 5. And when you look at what Daniel Jones has done, I mean, apparently all you have to do is leave the Giants and you become a superstar. Now, he had one, obviously, stint, up in Seattle to get him right. But Indianapolis right now, you look at some of their wins and you say, okay, Dolphins, Broncos, Titans. The Broncos game is looking pretty good. A win over the Raiders, eh. Their only losses to the Rams, but they are 4-1 right now, and they are playing really good football. Tyler Warren is having a hell of a rookie season.
Yeah, I think you could have flipped the Niners and the Colts because of the Rams game head-to-head.
Yeah, I mean, okay, could have, but this is how I feel about it right now. Number 4, Philly. And last week I had them at 2. They're down to number 4, and here's why. There's something wrong in Philly. And I don't necessarily know that it's just A.J. Brown. I don't know what it is, but some of it is play calling. Saquon Barkley, one run, one handoff in the second half. He had, 6 carries for 30 yards. They gave up 6 sacks in that game. They're not playing good football right now. And they are a team that has to win in the trenches and should be winning in the trenches, but they're not. That's why I bumped them down to number 4. 3 is the Buffalo Bills. And when you look at Buffalo and you say, okay, well, hey, they lost to New England. Shouldn't have lost to New England. It was a bad loss, and they really haven't beaten anybody else, even though the Ravens at that time, starting off the season, that was a big win. And the fact that they came from, 15 down with 5 minutes left. But then it's been Jets, Dolphins, Saints. So I'm not ready to throw them out yet, but they are underperforming at this point. But they're number 3. Number 2. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I mean, there's a case to be made right now. And I know some people talked about it before the season for their quarterback to be in the conversation for MVP. If they keep winning the way that they're winning, because Baker Mayfield has been able to, whether it's the Falcons game, the Texans games, the Jets games, the Seahawks game, even the Eagles game, he gave them a chance to win at the end of every single game. It's exhausting watching Tampa Bay play because they could be making life easier on themselves, but some of that is due to injury, and they have been able to manufacture wins still at this point. The number one team, obviously the one team that we all care about, this week, the snapshot in time is the Detroit Lions, and I got them at number 1 because, yeah, that week 1 loss was a bad loss. But since then, it's been 52 points, 38 points, 34 points, 37 points. You're averaging over 35 points through those 4 games. Your offense has been dominant. And it's not just been offense. It's been offense, defense, special teams. I believe they're the most complete team at this point. They are playing as the most complete team because they don't have to just rely on the offense. The defense comes up with some big moments. They found a way to stop a mobile quarterback, not just stop him in Lamar, but actually sack him. And so I've got the Lions playing as they enter week 6. It's the best team in the NFL currently.
Homer, no, you're not. In fact, this is the consensus across the NFL right now. How about some other power rankings? The Ringer, Lions number 1. NFL.com, Lions number 1. Sports Illustrated, guess who's number 1?
Lions.
It's the Detroit Lions. ESPN, Lions are number 1. Yahoo Sports, number 1. The Athletic, CBS Sports, USA Today, all have the Lions currently today as the number 1 team.
And I talk about coaching. part of it is you always play to your standard. And have the Lions been perfect? Absolutely not. But they don't play down to the level of their competition. They didn't play down to Cincinnati. They didn't play down to the Browns. They didn't play down to what we now believe is the Ravens. They didn't play down to the Bears. They have made some corrections. You are allowed to get better throughout the season. I say it all the time. They made the corrections, and they are playing to what we believe is the Detroit Lions standard.
Spotlight this week, Niners playing Buccaneers, mm-hmm. two teams in your power surge. In 2 weeks on Monday night, your number one and number two teams face off, Detroit hosting mm-hmm. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh, right before they go into the bye week. Can't wait.
It's the power surge. It's 97.1.
All right, Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hope everybody's doing well. Doug Karsh in L.A., the Memorial Coliseum. Field's coming along, Gator. They're doing a nice job striping the field.
It looks painted. Nice. Looks great.
It's funny. I was down in the media seat, like where the ink-stained wretches do all their writing.
Oh, my.
And I was looking. You know, they have name tags on seats. And the name tags, you have the Wi-Fi network password. So I ran down there to find out, you know, to see what the Wi-Fi was so we can do all the streaming and the whatnot. And I came across Graham Couch, and I thought, huh, they haven't cleared the name tags out since the last game they played here. And Graham Couch with the Lansing State Journal was here covering Michigan State.
Huh.
So I still had those. That was the last time they hosted.
Did you steal Wojo's tag?
I did not.
Sure.
Although, you know what I, John and I do on occasion? We will go down and mess with people's name tags, like write little notes on them.
Oh.
And make fun of them.
Sure.
You know, Wojo, Nutter Butters and Sweet 412, or just little goofy stuff like that we'll put on, because we'll get here way
I mean, look, if I were on my name tag, I'd run a Sweet 412.
Yeah, I bet.
Where the Nutter Butters at?
I got a friend who I write, you must be this tall to enter the press box, because he's kind of a shorter guy.
Oh.
Making fun. Yeah. He always comes back with your bald jokes, but that's what guys do to each other.
That's what happens.
Anyway, all right, how's it impact us? What is up with the Eagles?
I don't know what's up with the Eagles, man. I was at the Red Wing game last night, and when I came home, I started watching other baseball games, and I honestly completely forgot about the NFL game. And at one point, I hit on my TV. I wanted to see the scores, so you have that, you know, if you have Xfinity, you have the C button, and it has all this, the scores come up, but there's a sports page for it. And I'm going through that, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, Eagles and Giants. It's what, 34 to what?
Yeah.
Giants?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
So I immediately got my phone. I started looking through the box score and trying to figure out what the hell happened. And, you know, Jalen Hurts had like 250 yards passing and a touchdown, only one interception, and they didn't run the ball all that well. And I'm like, well, was Jackson Dart having a day? And not necessarily. He was fine. And then I saw that Scadabo had run for a bunch of yards. And, okay, all right.
It felt like 10 yards a rush, to be honest with you.
Well, because that's the effort he puts into it.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if Scadaboo and Dart are like saving Brian Daboll's job a little bit here. Because if nothing, I mean, they're still a 2-4 football team, right? That was a 1-4 team that kicked the tail of a 4-1 team, a defending Super Bowl champion team. Now, the Lions will play both those teams in back-to-back weeks coming up here in like 3 and 4 weeks. So, you know, we'll get to see them firsthand. But in the case of the Eagles, look, seasons are long, and just about everybody that's really good loses a game that they shouldn't. But they've got back-to-back losses here, losing to the Broncos and then coming back on the short week and losing to the Giants. If I were doing this show in Philly, as you might imagine, I wouldn't be freaking out, but I'd be like, okay, y'all better win a game because, you know, I don't. They got outclassed last night. It looked like the Giants team, if you'd taken the names and the colors away from the uniforms, you go, that team is way better. Team A is way better than Team B. The Giants earned that win. They were better than Philly, and it felt like a lot better than Philly last night.
Yeah, it's just a shame to see Philadelphia get owned like that. But
rough night for Philly.
Rough night. Well, it's 2 weeks in a row they've lost, so this is okay. I'm paying attention to see what's going on in Philly and you know, wait for the meltdowns and 3-2-1 to come from the wide receivers again, because that's typically where it starts. And yet, look, it's a very talented roster up and down. I know they've got some guys out. Some guys are going to come back real soon and make them a better team. But it is what it is. Keep an eye on it. And they don't look infallible like they did before the season started. We're like, oh, pencil Philadelphia to get back to the NFC Championship game. That I don't think you would pencil them in right now.
No. I mean, they're again, long season. It's a long season, and you're right. They're very talented. But I was specific. It's funny you bring up the wide receivers. I was specifically watching for body language issues, for cutaways of guys complaining. In the meantime, Scataboo, this guy is – apparently the way his running style is reflective of his personality.
Yeah.
And he's just like an animal. He's just an animal in every way. And all these videos are surfing of him banging his head against brick walls. And he blurts out, like, scream stuff in meetings when, like, the coaches say, you know, what we need on this play is we need you to be physical. And he'll just yell in the meeting room, physical.
Right.
It's like, what is wrong with this cat? Kang, what do you make of what's going on with the Eagles?
First of all, last night was a tough game to watch because I don't like both teams very much, but I try to put that aside and said to myself, what would help the Lions the most, right? And that's the Eagles losing, because if you want the number one seed, you want, you know, the Eagles to lose. So I was able to do that. As far as watching what's going on with the Eagles, I think Lane Johnson said it last night that he admitted that they haven't really been really good this year at all. They just kind of been maybe just going through the motions, getting lucky or whatever it is, or letting their talent come through, but really they've got to change something and they become too predictable. And maybe they're getting bored, you know, maybe that all they do is tush push. I don't know. And they're like, we want to do something else. And I think there's always that worry that once you win it, do you have the same drive next year? I do think they have the drive, but
the Chuck Daly theory.
Yeah, exactly. But the issue is, man, it's the NFL. It's really hard to win games. Every other team brings it every week, and the second you don't, you could get caught. Oh. And they got caught last night pretty good.
And they are the Super Bowl champions, the defending champions. They got a target on their back. Every team that steps in against Philadelphia is going to give them their best shot.
And Jackson Dart and Scataboo, they were like a shot of adrenaline for that team. I mean, they bring life to the stadium, to the veterans on that team. I think Dart got concussed and still headbutted, you know, Cam after the game, because these guys don't know and they don't care. They're just... You know, running raw emotion.
Kang and I were talking a little bit before the show about Scataboo and his running style, and he's fun to watch because he's just a tank, or he's a bowling ball just going through you. And Doug, we've always talked as a show about how there's an expiration date on running backs.
Yep.
And it might be somewhere between, you know, 1,000 and 1,200 carries. That's the expiration date.
Yep.
I feel with his running style, that expiration date gets knocked back.
Might be like 600 carries.
Yeah. Right. Because it's just maximum effort all the time. And he's not a fullback. He's, you know, he's a running back. You know, Mike Allstott was a little bit different. You know, Allstott didn't need to be the focal point. But I feel like Scataboo maybe needs to be the focal point of this Giants offense, because what do they have right now? And they're just riding it early here. Hey, we got two wins now with our young rookie quarterback and our rookie running back who's running real hard. I don't know how much longer this guy's going to be able to go with that style.
I want to circle back to something you said to just explain it to the audience. You said the Chuck Daly no more big games theory. When we had Chuck Daly on during all the runs for the Pistons, when he was our analyst throughout the going to work Piston era, he offered up this theory that what can happen to a team, he saw it happen with the Bad Boys, and he thought it happened at the end with the going to work Pistons, is you scale the mountaintop and you fight your way to the top, and every series you can't get past, like, that's the biggest game ever, is can we get to the NBA Finals? And you get to the NBA Finals, and can we win a Game 7? And we can't. And then you run out of things that you haven't accomplished. And Chuck called it no more big games. And, you know, I think it depends how motivated a team is to go back-to-back. Look, I'm not burying the Eagles yet in the NFC, for sure.
No.
But it's a reminder, the ebbs and flows that a team can have a season. I mean, if you've gone back, it's crazy. week one to now, and the Lions look like they're sort of in the driver's seat in the NFC. They're not. I mean, Tampa's 4-1. I think San Francisco's also 4-1, but they're banged up. But the Lions are so well positioned. They are so well positioned. And yeah, Philly, if they are actually taking on water, it's awesome.
So
now,
okay, go ahead.
Well, I just want to bring up, they did something last night that was as detestable, and it just has to get addressed. They had a 2nd and 3. I was watching on the plane. I want to make sure I got this right. It was like a 2nd and 3 on the 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. They were very close to the goal line.
They went tush-push, didn't get the first down. Went tush-push, got the first down, didn't score. Went tush-push, didn't score, but got closer, and went tush-push. They ran it 4 straight times. And I'm like, this is an abomination. This is terrible. This is not football. Al Michaels on the call, I don't know if anybody else heard it. I thought he sounded disgusted.
I think Al Michaels is disgusted.
Yeah, and what did Micah Parsons tweet out, Kang? I didn't see it, but I heard you reference it.
Yeah, he tweeted out, this isn't football. It's just, I mean, but he's voicing what a lot of fans and players feel. I guess, I mean, from his point of view, he doesn't want to defend this anymore, right?
Well, on top of that, they were showing replays. It's like full start, every one of them. Not every one of them, but the guards were firing out before the center was snapping the ball.
Well, they're supposed to. That's what they're supposed to pay attention to.
I know.
That's annoying.
I can't stand it.
Parsons' full tweet was, guys, real quick, was this is not football with 2 trash emojis, like someone throwing something in the garbage.
Oh,
right.
So a couple things out of this game. One is, Kang, you had mentioned that Jackson Dart had gone to the concussion protocol, came out immediately, and they're banging him on the helmet or whatever. The NFL is investigating that because they want to make sure that that was done appropriately, that was a full-on, did they do the right review or not? Because I didn't see the game, but you said it happened awfully quickly.
Yeah, so he goes into the tent. They bring in Russell Wilson for 1 3rd down play. He throws an incompletion. Fans are booing. They show Brian Daboll screaming at the head medical trainer. Like he yelled at him, walked away, came back and yelled at him some more. So did they follow all the protocols to safely put a player back on the field is a valid question. Kang, am I getting anything wrong again? I was on
no,
a plane.
No, I thought Daboll was like, where is he? My quarterback, get him out here. Like, he doesn't care about the player's safety. And then Cam Scadabo went into the tent. And then he's like, hey, you good? Like, they're like, get out of here, man.
We got a game, man.
So, but yeah, so everyone said that actually Cam had cleared Jackson Dart to play, so they were good to go there.
So the other thing
Dr. Scadabo says it's all right.
Right, if Dr. Scadabo says you're good, then good. The other thing is, post-game, I saw the video online of Scadabo doing the interview with everybody afterwards.
Yeah.
And he gets all riled up and rips his shirt, and he's all bare-chested, and he's bro-ing it out with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the panel, who's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that the happiest person alive watching that unfold was Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he was waiting for an opportunity to rip his shirt off. Because the guy's ripped for being a Harvard grad
he's
and
like,
a quarterback.
Here's our chance.
Yeah, he's like, I can do this. And he looks like, geez, he still works out.
Yeah,
he's
an even workout pro.
Yeah, but it's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, Scadabo's an absolute animal. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We got a game 5 tonight. We'll get back to that in the noon hour. You want to talk a little college football next, Scott?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. I'm here at USC. We'll preview Michigan and USC. We'll get into Michigan State and UCLA. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, injury report. David, give us the complete one, and I want to talk through this because TJ did not laugh, and in fact, he is a believer. The script writers are out. We're going to talk about it, Lions-related. What do you, David, go ahead. First of all, the complete report.
Yeah, complete report here. Terrion Arnold is out. Zach Cunningham is out. Sione Vaki out. Aleem McNeil is out. And Dave Burkett reports probably next week for him is when he goes. Brian Branch, questionable. Taylor Decker, questionable. Kirby Joseph, questionable. Avante Maddox, questionable. Manu, questionable. Khalif Raymond, questionable.
Yeah, and again, you know, I've brought this up multiple.
It's a beat-up secondary.
It's a beat-up secondary, and I think you got a beat-up offensive line. I mean, let's face it, Taylor Decker's as tough as it gets. No guarantee he plays, or if he does play, if he's going to survive the whole game.
Yeah.
So, look, I look at it in totality. The Chiefs have rediscovered their passing game. Obviously, Xavier Worthy's played a big role in that, and the rookie they drafted, whose name escapes me, I apologize. Is it Thornton, whatever the hell his name is? The point is, you don't have your starting corners. And what I can't stand, and a vast majority of Lion fans don't do this, so it isn't directed at a majority of people. It's just this vocal minority. You're not allowed to talk about injuries and how you're nervous going into a game because you're labeled a hater.
Yeah.
You didn't pick them by 70. But if they lose, then these bitches go out and they're like, oh, well, we had injuries. And it's like, no, you don't get to do both.
No, they're still going to do both, Mike, because you're right. You're down your starting corners and you may be without one or both of your starting safeties. And that's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, and it's your left tackle potentially.
Right. It's on the road. That's a real crowd.
Script writers.
That's a real crowd. It's not Cincinnati where they've already given up on the season. And yes, Kansas City is desperate.
And the league knows it, and the league is going to step up. Daddy's going to help them, and TJ agrees. Scriptwriters.
It's been a lot of weird things, and even last week against Jacksonville where Kansas City got called for an offensive pass interference, and the guy saw the call, clear as day, a pick, threw the flag, the other guy threw a flag, and then all of a sudden you hear Mahomes come up, and we get one yard. And all of a sudden, the flag goes away. No penalty. Meanwhile, the expert officiating guy that was on the broadcast was like, that's definitely more than a yard downfield, 100% a penalty. The refs on the field were like,
script writers. Well,
Patrick Mahomes told us that they get a yard. Are you sure it was outside
the
yard?
Now,
I don't know if I am. No, I know that, but there's always like weird things. Well, they lost the game because Patrick Mahomes threw a 99-yard pick six.
They lost the game.
Did it even out? No. Yeah, because Trevor Lawrence also fumbled at the goal line, too.
Okay.
So maybe it even out, but there's been a lot of weird things
that have happened
that are like, I don't think we're getting that call in the same situation.
I would give you two script writing if it were the other way around and Mahomes falls twice and runs into the end zone. I'd be like, okay. That's script.
Okay,
writing.
I've never seen that play in the history of the NFL.
Right.
When a quarterback gets stepped on leaving center, the play is over.
Yes.
But then he was like a baby foal. He tried to get up and fell back down.
He had
down.
No idea where he was.
Then he got up again, and I'm like, okay, someone's going to rip his head off here. No, I'm going to skedaddle this way, break three tackles. Chris Jones was eating lunch, decided he didn't want to bother.
Right. Chris Jones thought it was college. I'm like, well, he's down, right? No, Chris, he's not.
That was crazy.
Even Trevor Lawrence said, I was just ready to get the team back to huddle up. And
he said
up.
He was panicked.
Yeah, he said, I looked up, and I didn't see anybody. And I'm like, wait a minute, and he scored. That would have been script writing, fellas.
Yeah. So the bottom line is the league is not going to allow the Chiefs to fall to 2-4 at home on national TV. Plus, Collinsworth won't have enough material. If he can't glaze Mahomes, he's got nothing. So, and you hate Collinsworth. You know you do, all because he slandered you when you took reps at defensive tackle.
We made up at one point.
Well, I don't forgive.
Yes, I don't either. But I think there is like it just
what
watching
did PFF
just
have to say?
Just watching last couple years. It's like I don't see many teams getting those calls.
And how about the Houston game last year?
I'm not saying that it's slanted, but there
really
are
doing this.
It's kind of it's kind of weird when it like it's always slanted towards one team, and it's like okay, if it kind of spreads around the league, and you see everybody getting these weird calls. But it always seems to come back like one common denominator.
And you have to factor this in. You have to factor in a negative review of Taylor Swift's new album. She's unhappy. She's made the call to Raj. She wants her husband to be happy. She's made the call.
Yeah.
She has said, scriptwriters, unite.
I would tell you this. Like, I think I picked the Chiefs more towards tangible evidence that... My concerns are just with the injuries that you have, and that's it. And I also take us back to a conversation that we had, I think, leading into week one, Mike.
He's hearkening.
No, but we also said, hey, if you get out of these first six games 3-3, mm-hmm. we're feeling pretty damn good about ourselves, mm-hmm. right? So worst case scenario, if you drop one and you play and you battle and you lose on a walk-off field goal mm-hmm. Sunday night, you're sitting there 4-2. I think a big picture look is the way I look at it. Basically, almost a third of the way through the season, you're sitting there 4-2. I think a lot of us, when we started this, 5 weeks ago. We're saying, look at that schedule. Now, I know teams have had some injuries, whatnot. Don't care. You don't get to make your own schedule. But you're looking at 4-2 and saying, hey, we're still in a really, really good
spot. I still
think
they're the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, and look, if you lose a game 31-27,
who cares?
You feel bad. No, you're going to be pissed off.
Are the Bills not the Super Bowl favorite in the AFC? Yeah. They just lost to the Patriots.
Exactly.
Okay?
Look at Philly. I mean, last night.
Well, no, they're effed.
I think Philly's a different.
But Detroit's going to have to play those same Giants.
Yeah,
so
that's why you just. I'm just saying.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
Can't just let me have one moment of joy. I'm saying it may be two. Shut up. Scatamoo.
I just think when all of us said, hey, if you get out of this 3-3, this kind of gauntlet, feeling pretty good about ourselves. So, worst case scenario, you're 4-2. Nobody's gonna think different about this.
Oh,
we know exactly who this team is.
In a race for the top seed. Now, look, I know what the top seed brought you last year, but that was last year.
Yeah.
You're still on pace to be that best team in the NFC.
Yeah, and looking at that's the one thing that I just look at is like, okay, one injury, yeah, we can get away with it. Two injuries, okay, maybe it's Decker and maybe a DB, right? You look at like five or six guys that might be questionable, might be game time decisions. If you don't have those guys, that's where the only concern comes from, because those are positions that you need reps at. You need to build chemistry. You need to be able to like, hey, I've had 100 reps next to this guy. I know what he's going to do on this play. There's just some positions there where they're battling some injury issues. We'll have to wait. Obviously, it could change. Maybe Sunday night, these guys are all active, and I would change my pick. But just with some of the things that they're battling right now, it's just like, man, like you're going to a tough environment against a desperate team with a great quarterback, with a great head coach.
Trip riders.
With a desperate, they're obviously desperate. They don't want to fall to 2-4. And you've got some injuries. I just kind of take all that information in, and I'm just like, okay, like maybe this. If you win this one, it would feel like you're kind of stealing one with some of your depth players.
Scriptwriters.
You can say it a little louder than that.
I'm just saying. I don't trust Kansas City in Arrowhead to ever get the benefit of the doubt when you're the opposition. If they have the ability to screw the Lions, they're going to. Here's the bottom. It's a week-to-week league. The Lions are still going to win a ton of games. They're still, to me, the favorite in the NFC. They've answered every question.
When do the Lions get the script writing?
When they win a Super Bowl. Okay.
Let me ask a quick question. I know we're up against
fine.
It here.
But, who cares?
If the Lions drop a close game, they go out there and battle with some depth players, and, hey, we're giving some guys a little bit of rest, and they drop the game. We've all kind of agreed that's not going to change our opinion on what type of team they are.
No.
Let me ask you the flip side.
Sure.
If they go out and win by 14 against Kansas City,
they're the best team.
What does that do for the opinion?
I already
of the
think
Lions?
They're the Super Bowl rep from the NFC the way they've played. They've answered every question from the coordinators to offensive line gelling, all that stuff.
So you don't think it would change either way?
Because I've already picked them to be
So let me ask this.
Hold on. The only way it changes is if you see a repeat of what you saw week one. If all of a sudden they go to Kansas City and it's not script writers,
whooped.
They just get beat badly.
I'm talking about on the other side of that. Let's say you go in and you win 38-20.
They're even more awesome.
Does that just solidify the belief
I
have
struggling.
To accept the fact that this team is an absolute powerhouse right now.
They are.
Because I can honestly, like, I know I picked them in our picks,
you
but
know what it does?
I could see it going the Lions' way and being like, you know what? Screw it. We got depth. We got players. We're going to go up there. We're going to trust our offense. They're going to put up 35 points. Defense, maybe you continue the takeaway fest you had the last 3 weeks.
It becomes a collision course.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my gosh, an ass beating in Kansas City. Like, would that just solidify the fact?
It's a collision course to Thanksgiving, the rematch against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.